Today's Shi'ur is Masechta Brachos Daf Mem Zayin. We will begin on Daf Mem Vav Amud Beis on the bottom line. Tana Rabbanan, we learn in a Brais, Ei Mechabden, we don't show honor to someone else. Loi Bedrachim, that if two people are traveling on the road and they come to a place together, the halacha is one that even if one is greater than the other person, we don't have to show honor one for the other. The question is, Machloikus Rishonim, is this only when traveling on a highway, for example, between cities? What will be the halacha if they're traveling in the city itself? It seems that the Meiri learns that even if when they're traveling within the city, the halacha doesn't change, because on the road, there is no issue of showing covet. But really, it depends on what's the reason. If the reason is because of sakana, so then sakana really is only when we're traveling on a highway. But if the reason is because just to keep the travel, the flow of travel going, because people have to get to work and you don't want to hold up people from being able to do what they need to do, so then it shouldn't make a difference if it's within the city or between cities. Furthermore, v'loy b'ksharim, the halacha is that by a bridge, there's no showing covet one for the other. Again, the reason is because we don't want, the bridges then weren't built so sturdy, and there's a concern that if there's going to be too much on the bridge, too many people, too many wagons on the bridge, it may be too much for the bridge to hold. Another pshat is that maybe the bridge, the Ramban, interesting pshat, says maybe the bridge is not sturdy enough, and why should I let the more respected person travel on the non-sturdy bridge? I should take the chance first. V'loy b'yadayim zuhumais. And the halacha also is that when it comes to mayim achroinim, that's how Rashi learns, there is no inyan of covet by mayim achroinim. And as Rabbeinu Yoina and Rashba explain, even though we learned in our previous shiur that when we come to the last five people who have to wash mayim achroinim, then we ask the person who's going to lead the benching to be the one to wash mayim achroinim. So as we explained in our previous shiur, that's not an issue of covet. That's an issue because, as we explained, we want the person to have an opportunity to check and be ready to say the Birchas Hamazon. But in terms of covet, that's not the issue. However, the Re Melunil says that the Brice is not talking about Mayim Achroinim. It's talking about Mayim Emtsoyim. Again, they didn't live in a world where they really had silverware. So they halacha is, for example, that they used to wash their hands between eating the fish at the beginning of the meal and then eating meat. So there, since it's a reshus, it's not something that they're obligated to do. So that's why they don't have to show any covet by that washing the hands. But the Raven and the Ra have a whole new pshat. V'lohay yadayim zuhamos means that if we're serving someone, we should be careful, v'lohay yadayim zuhamos, not to serve someone when our hands are dirty. Another pshat, we learned that the reason, the Miri explains, that we have to wash mayim achroinim is because there was melech sadoimus. They had this salt that was dangerous, it could cause blindness. And therefore, when it's an inyan of sakana, so we should just wash our hands as quickly as possible and don't start showing covet. And the last pshat we're going to quote is the pshat of the Rashbats. The Rashbat says, we wash mayim achroinim because our hands get dirty during the meal. So since our hands get dirty during the meal, v'loy b'yadayim zuhamos means that nobody wants to sit around with dirty hands. And therefore, we should just wash our hands as soon as possible and not start thinking who should come first and who should come second. The Ben Yoyada has a very powerful pshat. A person should recognize that our life on this world is a derech, it's a trip. And we're going over a gesher, we're going over a bridge from Olam Hazeh to Olam Haba. We have to be careful not to be busy ein mechabdin. We shouldn't be busy in this world with COVID. We should be busy in this world doing what we're supposed to do and not think about COVID. Says the Gemara, Rav and Abaye have kaazli be'archa. Rav and Abaye were traveling on the road. Kamei chamrei de Rav and Abaye. And the donkey of Ravan came before the donkey of Abaye. V'lo yomar, and Ravan did not say to Abaye, who was greater than him, Nezalmar, you, my master, Abaye, go first. Omar, so at a bad point, Abaye said, Midasol kai rabbanan mi marova. Ravan would typically go from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael to learn by Rabbi Yochanan and then come back to Bavel. So it says, as soon as he began going back and forth from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz, from Chutz to Eretz Yisrael and back, Gasle Date, he became some sort of a Balgaiva. And as the Ben Yoyada explains, it wasn't that Abaye was concerned about his own covet. Abaye was concerned about the covet HaTorah. Abaye was the Rosh Yeshiva, and he wasn't showing the proper covet. Kimotel Pesach de Beit Knishta. However, when they got to the door of the shul, Amalei, so Ravan said to Abaye, Neil Mar, please go in first. Amalei, Varhashtala Marana, and before I wasn't your master, all of a sudden now you remembered. Amalei, so Ravan responded, Hachi Amar Rabbi Yochanan, this is one of the halachas that I learned by Rabbi Yochanan. Ei Mechabdin, the only place we need to show covet, El Pesach Shesh by Mezuzah, on a doorway where there is a mezuzah. And therefore, on the highway, on the road, we don't need to show covet. And I didn't show you covet indeed there. But now that we're at a doorway, I show you, of course, I'm going to show you the proper covet. El Pesach Shesh Bei Mezuzah. Only a door that has a mezuzah. So says the Gemara, the Is Bei Mezuzah in. Does that mean only a doorway that has a mezuzah? The less Bei Mezuzah. But where there is no mezuzah, loy, you need not show covet. El Me'atav, that's going to be the halacha. Beis HaKnesses, Beis HaMedrash. The halacha is that a Beis HaKnesses and Beis HaMedrash, where people don't live, we don't put up a mezuzah. And even in the Bati Medrash, where we do eat, a mezuzah is only put up without a bracha. In their world, where they only daven in the Beis HaKnesses, certainly, they didn't put up a mezuzah. So according to your understanding, the less Bei Mezuzah, so there's no mezuzah there, hachinami, mechabdim, so we'll be that halacha that in such a doorway, we won't have to show covet to a great person. Ela'ema, but Pesach haroy lemezuzah. It means it has to be a doorway that could have a mezuzah. So the Pasha Pshat, in the Gemara is that if it has a doorway with a door and a side post, even though that particular doorway doesn't have a mezuzah because of whatever halachic degree is in, you show covet. But if it's just a breach, let's say an offense, so that's not a doorway, and that's where everybody would agree you need not show a covet. Another pshat, El B'Pesach HaRoy LeMezuzah, means that it's the doorway to a room. But let's say it's a doorway to a bathroom or to a bathhouse. So that's not really a place of covet. And since it's not a place of covet, there is no reason to show the covet that we're discussing at such a doorway. Says the Gemara, Amar Yehuda B'Reder of Shmuel B'Shelis, Mishmei D'Rav. Einam Asubin. So we've discussed extensively in our Masechta that when they began a meal, they had betzias hapas. Betzias hapas means that the person who led the meal cut the bread and gave everybody a slice. So says the Gemara, Amar Yehuda B'Reder of Shmuel B'Shelis, Mishmei D'Rav, Einam Asubim. the people who are sitting around the table who are being yoytze the mitzvah, who are being yoytze hamoytzi, from the person that's slicing the bread and giving out slices of the bread, they may not eat at shiyutama betzeya, until the betzeya eats first. Because his bracha, they're being yoytze with his bracha, and since they're being yoytze with his bracha, they have no right to eat before he makes the bracha. Even though the Gemara uses the words osel shiyitoim, then it doesn't mean only itoim. It means both eating, and lechel doesn't mean just eating. It even means just tima. The Tosfos says, the very maskal ein, that that's only if everybody's eating from the loaf of bread that the Beitzei is cutting from them. But if everybody has their own challah in front of them, so then this halacha doesn't apply. But it's not so simple. It depends, even if everybody has their own bread in front of them, it depends if they're going to rely on the Beitzei's hamoitzi. If they're relying on the Beitzei's hamoitzi, so again, they need to wait until he makes the bracha. And in fact, this is the reason the Shibulei Leket says that before the Beitzeya, this is the minig, particularly Shabbos meal, where one person is cutting the challah for the entire, for all the people sitting around the table, they say brishus, that everybody, that he's saying, I'm brishus, all of you are going to be yotze with my bracha, and you're not going to eat before I make the bracha. Yosef Rav Safra Kama Litam Etma, he said that the right gear says litoim, not lechol. So they asked the Lamai Nafkamina, for as I said a moment ago, the halacha is that as far as this halacha is concerned, given the reasoning that we gave, because you can't eat until you hear a bracha, so what's the difference if it says lechol or litoim? You can't eat until you hear the bracha. Answers the Gemara, you're right. Lamai Nafkamina, there is no halachic dig nafkamina. The entire nafkamina is because chayev adam loyme beloshen rabbi. A person has to say it exactly how he heard it. And when he heard it that way. So when he's repeating that halacha, you have to repeat it exactly the way you heard it. I saw that the Imri Emes explains that why do you need to wait? Because you need to be concerned that the person who's making the bracha may for some reason not be able to eat. And the halacha is, if he made the bracha and didn't eat, the bracha is a bracha of atala. And since it's a bracha of atala, I can't be yotzi with that bracha. And therefore, I have to make sure that he made the bracha and ate. However, by Kiddush, the halacha, says the Imri Emes, is very different. There the halacha is that even if he didn't drink from the wine, but I could be yotzi kiddush, even if he didn't drink from the wine, and therefore the concern that the Gemara says regarding the hamoitzi doesn't apply by the kiddush. Tana Rabbanan, Shnayim, if there are two people eating from one serving plate, that was the minig, they used to put a serving plate in front of a number of people. Mamtin el zelaza bekara, that if one of them, for whatever reason, is not taking anything from the serving plate, because he's drinking or he's speaking, then it's appropriate that the other person should also wait until he should not take anything from the serving plate during that time. However, shloisha, but if there's three people all eating from a common serving plate, eimamtinen, we need not wait. And the Talmidei Rabbeinu Yoina tell us that this halacha only applies is if the person who stopped eating stopped for a short amount of time for good reason. But if he's just stopped eating for no good reason, then you don't have to wait for him. Why is the halacha that for two don't need to wait for one? So the Beis Yosef says, as we learned earlier, when we spoke about Zimun, we said that one has to be ready to bench if the two are ready to bench. But but two don't have to wait for one. Another pshat that the Rashbat suggests is that if you're going to have three people and everybody's going to have to wait for when the other person stops, it's never going to work. But one-to-one is easier to work. Furthermore, says the Braisa, Habitzeya, the person who made the Hamoitzi, who poishe yada tchila. He has the right to take the first piece of bread for the Hamoitzi. However, v'mbo lach like covered the rabbi, olmisha gol b'menu, but if he wants to give that honor to the person who's great, Rebbe, or somebody who's greater than him, harashus b'yadai. So the way Rashi and the Talmid Rabbeinu Yoina seem to understand the Gemara, we're not speaking about the loaf of bread on which he's cutting and making hamotzi, because that we already discussed. Certainly he makes the bracha on that challah, everybody's yoytzu with that bracha. We're talking about that afterwards they had cut up bread on the table. Since he was the Beitzeya, he should also be the one to take the bread from that serving plate first. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Babachana have a osuk le'lebrei, bei Rav Shmuel bar Rav Ketina. Rabbi Babachana was marrying off his son to the home of Rav Shmuel bar Rav Ketina, Kadav Yosef. So before the wedding, the Kamasin le'lebrei, he was teaching his son how is the proper way, what is the proper halachic way to do betzias apas. And he told him, Eina betzei rishoy lifts up, you may not start cutting the bread, saying hamotzi lechem anoritz, and then cut the bread. You may not begin to cut the bread until everybody around the table finished saying amen. Because, as we know, amen is an important element of the bracha, and the bracha is not considered having been finished until the amen is recited. Because the amen is an indication that I believe in the bracha. That's what the Torah says. The Rabbeinu Bechaya says a beautiful pshat. Rabbeinu Bechaya says that when a bracha is made, and then the people who answer amen, it's like two edim who are saying, and we know the Torah says, "Val apishne edim yokim davar." So we need to have two edim. Who are the two edim? The person who says the bracha and the people who respond to the bracha. Rav Chisda Amar, but Rav Chisda's opinion is you don't have to wait till everybody finished saying amen. And most of the people finish saying amen, it's good enough. Amalei Rami Bachama Maishna, why is there a difference between most of the people or not most of the people? Ruva, so he answers, Ruba Dakatula Kali Bracha. Why do you have to wait for most people? Because as we're explaining, until the amen is done, the bracha is not finished to be recited. So if so, miyuta nami. If you have a few people that haven't finished saying the amen, it's also not loikalya. The bracha hasn't been finished. Amalei, so to which he answered, sha'ani oime kala oime yos medai. If somebody spends too much time saying the amen, ena elotoya. So the people, if most of the people finished saying amen, the other people who are still saying amen, their amen is not an amen that I need to be concerned about because they're just schlepping with the amen, saying it improperly. And in fact, the Shloss says that people, balei tefila, who draw out saying amen, people should tell them you're doing the wrong thing. So, therefore, for such people, I need not wait. Tana Rabbanan. So now we discuss, since we mentioned Amen, and since we mentioned how to say the Amen, teaches us the Braisa, and Amen loy Amen Chatufa. So Rashi explains Amen Chatufa is that instead of saying Amen with a comets under the Aleph, he says it with a Pasach under the Amen, under the Aleph. Instead of saying Amen, he says Amen. Another pshat that the Aruch suggests that the person begins to say Amen before the person who made the bracha finishes making the bracha. And you really need to wait until he finishes making the bracha, and only then say Amen. Another pshat that the Talmidei Rabbeinu Yonah suggests is that he says the Amen very quickly. Next, you may not say an Amen Ketufa. That's on the other side of the letter. That you're supposed to say all the letters of the Amen, including pronunciating the Nun, and not just cut off the Nun. For the Amen Yisayman. Amen Yisayman means that you don't know on which bracha you're saying Amen. So all the Rishonim ask that the Gemara in Masechta Sukkah Daf Nun Aleph Am Beis teaches us that in the Beis HaKnesses of Alexandria Shel Mitzrayim was a very large shul, and they weren't able to hear the Chazan Davin. So what they did was they had flags, and when they raised the flags, people knew that it was time to say Amen. And of course, ask the Rishonim, why is that not in the category of an Amen Yesaima? Because we're now discussing that if you don't know the Amen on which you're saying the Bracha, it's considered an Amen Yesaima. A very difficult question. So some say that they knew which Bracha they were up to. They didn't actually hear the Bracha, but they knew which Bracha that they were up to. And since they knew which Bracha they're up to, that's not considered an Amen Yesaima. Another pshat is that it's only a problem if you want to be yoytzu with the bracha. But let's say it's chazaras hashatz, and you already daven Shemoneh Esrei. So you're not being yoytzu with that bracha. Or it's the bracha of an aliyah, where you're not being yoytzu with the bracha. That isn't considered an amen yisoyma. And also says the b'rais of lo yizik bracha mipiv. He shouldn't say the bracha quickly without kavana. He should be very careful to understand what he's doing when he's saying a bracha. Says the Gemara, Benazai Oimer, Kol Oina Amen Yisayma. If somebody says an Amen Yisayma, Chas V'Sholem, Yubanav Yisayma, his children will be Yisayma. The Ben Yoyada explains that it's not pshat that somebody dies for not saying Amen, but it affects his panosa, so his children will be like Yisayma because they will have a father who cannot support them. Chatufa, if somebody says an Amen Chatufa, what happens is chat for Yomav. His life will be grabbed away. Ketufa is chat for Yomav. But somebody who spends the proper time saying the Amen at length, Marichal Yomav Vishnoisov, he'll be Zoicha Tariches Yomim. And the Pshat of Marichal Yomav Vishnoisov means that he'll live long, and the days that he lives will be good days. So that's why Yomav, every day will be a great day, Vishnoisov, and I'll have a long life. Says the Gemara, Rav Shmuel v'yasim b'sudasa. Rav Shmuel was sitting at a meal. Also Rav Simi b'achia, and Rav Simi b'achia came to sit there. Havim kamasarv l'ochel. He ate up quickly. Amalei, so he could come and join Rav and Shmuel in the Zimun. Amalei Rav. So Rav said to Rav Simi, ma datach, why are you doing what you're doing? Because let's taruf about don. You want to be able to join us in the Zimun. Anachilanon. We already finished eating. Too late. Amalei Shmuel. So Shmuel said, Ilu Maisa, if they would have brought to you a dila, if they would have brought to you mushrooms, or vugazlayu, or they would have brought pigeons, which were all delicacies, la'aba to you, he used to call him Abba out of respect. Maybe some say that was his name. Miloy Chilnalei, wouldn't you eat them? So that's a raya that the meal is not over for you and he could still join us for the Zeman. However, as we discussed previously, if they said Havlon v'Nevorech or they washed Mayim Achroinim, then it's too late. Talmidei the Rav have a Yasi v'Sudosa. The Talmidim of Rav sat in a Suda. All Rav Acha, and Rav Acha came and joined with them. Amri, so the Talmidei Rav said, also Gav Rabba, the Mvarachlon. Now we have a great person who is going to join us in the meal and he'll lay the Zeman. Amalei Misa Vrusa, the Gol Mvarach. Do you think that the most respected person at the meal is the one to make the bracha? Ikka Shibasuda. Somebody who was there for an entire meal, he should make the bracha. Vilchasa, but the halacha is not like that. The halacha is the Golem of Aruch, the most prestigious individual at the meal, should lead the Zimun. Afgad osul b'soif, even if he came at the end. But of course, Tosfos says, if the godel is mechabed the cotton to lead the zimun, it's okay. Moreover, the Bach and the Lvush say, that b'zman hazeh, we don't start judging who is the godel. Because we're going to start judging who the godel, will only end up with machlokes. So our Mishnah, in discussing the halachas of zimun, taught us that if somebody ate the mai, you could join the zimun. But we also discussed, you could only join in zimun if you're eating something that you're allowed to eat. And as the Gemara, halai chazalei, the mai is that Chazal made a takana, since they saw the Maratzim were not being careful about taking maisa properly, that anything you buy from an Amoritz, you have to take off the mai. The word the mai is dor mai. I'm not sure what this is. Ask the Gemara, so how could somebody who ate the mai, which you're not supposed to eat, join in the zimun? Holei chazilei. And that turns out to be a mitzvah abob avera. And the pasuk says in Tehillim, b'tzeya berech niyetz Hashem. Somebody who's doing an avera with the food, that's not a bracha. Answers the Gemara. Kivin the boil mafkalei nechasei. The halach is if somebody doesn't have any money, he's allowed to eat the mai. And this person, if he would take, be mafka everything he owns, have ani v'chazilei. So that's why the mai is not considered a food that you're not allowed to eat. In other words, we said it's a mitzvah baba aveira, but it's not necessarily aveira because I have a time that I can eat the mai. The Tanan, as we indeed learned, Machilin Sanim Damai, the Mishnah says we're allowed to serve poor people Damai. That's Achsanya Damai. Achsanya means the army that used to come, and the halacha was that they had to serve the people in the town where the army stayed, they had to serve the army meals. There's a Machlokes Rishonim, if the army were Jewish or not Jewish, it doesn't make a difference. You're not allowed to serve Damai. Moreover, some say that Achsanya doesn't necessarily mean the army. Even a guest. If you have a guest, you could serve him the mai. And as the Mefarshim explained, why do we need to know Beshamai's opinion? We need to know it that if you'll see anybody that says you can't serve the mai to these people, you know it's the opinion of Beshamai who we don't follow their opinion in Halachim. The next example that the Mishnah gave of somewhere you could take, you could bench, with Zeman is Maisa Sheni Shnitl Trumasa. Ask the Gemara Pshita, what happens? After you take off Truma, which is a 40th or a 50th or a 60th, you give the Levi Maisa Rishon. He has to take off Truma's Maisa and give it to the Kayin, and it's treated like full-fledged Truma. And the rest is Maisa Rishon, which is given to the Levi, but even Yisraelim may eat Maisa Rishon. So what's the Chiddush? Answers the Gemara, Le'tzrich Elashik Dimoy, Bishibolim, that the Levi took his Maiserishin when the grain wasn't yet processed, and the Levi took off from the Maiserishin that he takes, Trumas Maiser, but he didn't take off the Truma Gedoyla. And we're learning what Rav Avuha taught us. Damar Avuha Amar Ish Lakish, Maiserishin Shigdima Bishibolim, if you have a situation where the Levi took off Maiserishin when it's still Bishibolim, when it's still not processed, Potter mitruma gedoyla. There's no chiv truma gedoyla. Shenemva v'roisim and a truma Hashem, ma'isim and a ma'iser. To teach us ma'isim and a ma'iser, maratiloch. Here you have to take off the 10%, which is the trumas ma'iser. However, for the truma gedoyla, the trumas ma'isim and a ma'iser, you only have to take off the trumas ma'iser, the 10% that the levi must give to the kohen must be taken. But the truma gedoyla, which is normally taken, need not be taken. Amalei Rav Papa Labaya, if that's the way you're understanding, Yehochi, perhaps afilu hegdima b'kri nami. Even if the Levi took his maiserishin when it was already processed, the same halacha ought to apply. Amalei, to which he responded, Alecha makro, the pasuk says, mikol maasrei seichem tarimu. You have to take off both trumas. Ask the Gemara, Mari Isa, and why are you saying that Egdima b'shibolim, you have to take off You don't have to take off Trumas Maisa. Higdima Bekri, you do. Answers the Gemara. Hi, Idgun. Because when it's already Bekri, it's already Chayiv and Truma Gedoyla. So that's why it has to be removed. Hi, Loi Idgun. So all the Rishonim ask, this is a Gemara Masech the Beyah, Daf Yud Gimel Omid Beis. So Rishonim ask, of course, if it's Idgun, there's more of a Chayiv. Why was the Gemara's Havamina? So Ritva wants the answer that if somebody took off B'shibolim, he knew that the Truma Gedoyla wasn't removed. It's such an early state. So that's why maybe we make him take off Truma Smeiser. Whereas when he took it by Kri, maybe he assumed that the Kohen already got his portion. Tosfos in Masechet Ervin to this question, however, quotes the Riva, and he says that the question was that maybe both by Higdima B'Kri and Higdima B'Shibolim, you're part of Truma Gedoyla. I, the Pasik, that says that you are Chayiv and Truma Gedoyla is only if the Levi took off the Maaser Rishon after the grain was brought into the house. Because as we've learned a number of times in our Masechta, there really is no full-fledged Chayiv until the grain is brought into the house. Then we learned Maaser Sheni v'Hegdish Niftu. If somebody has Maaser Sheni or Hegdish that were properly redeemed, you could join in the Zimun. Answers the Gemara, Pshita. Of course, why not? Answers the Gemara, Hachem Ma'iskinen, Shenasan Asakaren. We learned that when an owner is poida his Ma'is Hasheni, he has to give a Karen a Chaymish. And here he gave the principle, V'loi Nasan Asakaymish, but he didn't give the extra fifth. V'al Kamashwan, and what our Mishnah is teaching us, is that in Chaymish Ma'akiv, the extra fifth you should give, but that doesn't mean it's not properly redeemed. Hashamish Ach Kazayis, we learned that if Hashamish ate a Kazayis, that he could join in the Zima. Ask the Rapshita. If he ate a Kazayis, it's considered that he ate, that he should be Chayim in Zima. Ma'atay Mishamish Loikova, that the Shamish isn't sitting in eating with the rest of us. And therefore, even if he ate a Kazayis, he cannot join us in the Zima. Kamash Malon, that he still, once he eats a Kazayis, he could join us. The next thing we learned was, Vakuti Mizamnalov. Ask the Gemara, Amai. There's a big shaila throughout Shas. Are the kutim considered Geri Emes or Geri Arayis? Are they considered full-fledged Jews or not? But ask the Gemara, even if you'll take the opinion that the kutim are Geri Emes and they're considered Gerim, but ask the Gemara, Lo Yehei El Amoritz. He shouldn't be treated worse, different than Amoritz. The Tanya, and the Brisa says, and we'll speak about this now. So, Emazam Nal Amaretz. You can't have an Amaretz join in the Zimun. Abai Omar says, the Abaya, our Mishnah is talking about a Kuti, who not only is he a Kuti, but he's a Chaver. He's a Talmud Chacham. Throughout Shas, Talmud Chachamim were called Chaverim. Because, as the Mefarshim explained, their friendship, a Chaver means a friend, their friendship is a true friendship. Rav Amar filo taim b'kuti amaretz. We're talking about a kuti amaretz. Hocha b'amaretz rabbanon. We're talking about what level of an amaretz. The pligilei the remei askinen. We're talking about a person who's considered amaretz according to Chachamim who disagree with remei. The Tanya, as the Bryson teaches us, eiz amaretz. Who's an individual who's considered amaretz? Kol she'enoy chulav b'tara. Somebody who's not makbet to eat all his food, betara, divra meya. V'cham oimrim, v'kol she'en ha'masa peroysev kuroi. If they don't take off the maisa properly, v'hani ketoi, and the ketoim, asuri masri kedachazi. They take off the maisers from the produce properly. The v'maidik siba raisa, because the ketoim was as follows. Whatever the Torah says explicitly we must do, Mrs. Zahiri, they're very careful. The Amar, as the Gemara says in Masechta Gittin, call mitzvah shechzikim by kutim, any mitzvah that the kutim are careful with, harbi medagding ba, the even more careful yosem Yisrael, even more than the Yisrael. So if the way to determine if somebody's an Amoritz is if they take off Meiser, the kutim take off Meiser. Says the Gemara, a whole list of different opinions, what makes somebody into an Amoritz? Tanabana Ezo Amoritz, Kosha in a Kriya Krishma Arvis Vashakras. If somebody doesn't say Krishma in the evening and the morning, he's considered and Am Oretz. So the Pashat Pshat is because, as we learned at the beginning of our Masechta, Krishma is the basis of our belief. I saw a beautiful Pshat. The Gemara says in Masechta Menachos that you could fulfill the mitzvah of Talmud Torah by saying Krishma in the morning and the evening. But says the Gemara, the Dovah said, this halacha also l'omer l'amoritz should not be said to l'amoritz. Why shouldn't it be said to l'amoritz? Because we're concerned that the amoritz will just do that and won't learn anything. So this person who doesn't even say Shema is a proof that he's a super amoritz. He doesn't even do that, and therefore we should not, he's an amoritz. And we show Amar, kosher emer tefillin. And as the Mashal explains, we say Krishma. He's a person who says Krishma. And in the Krishma it says he's supposed to wear tefillin. And he doesn't do what it says in the Krishma. So then he's an Amoritz. But as Amar, kosher emer tzitzis. Similar explanation. We say, v'yoymer, that you're supposed to wear tzitzis. Where's your tzitzis? Reb Nosson Omer, kosher emer zuzal pischa. The same explanation. Reb Nosson by Yosef Omer, kosher emer shloi bonim. If he has children, and he doesn't teach them Torah. If somebody doesn't teach his children Torah, so I saw that he's showing that what he believes in Hashem is not a true belief. Because if you really believed in Hashem, you would pass it on to your future generations. Even if somebody learned Chumash, and he learned Mishnayos, V'lashimesh Tamidei Chachamim. So the typical example, the typical translation of V'lashimesh Tamidei Chachamim means that he doesn't have the background to answer the different questions in the Mishnayos. But I saw from Reb Nosson Gishtetner, he says V'lashimesh Tamidei Chachamim means that he doesn't actually spend time in the presence of Tamidei Chachamim. He's an Amoritz. Amar Rav Huna, Halacha Ta'acherim. That's indeed the halacha. I saw a very powerful word. If somebody, Karav Hashana, if somebody learned Torah, and the Torah did not bring him close to Talmidei Chachamim, that's a proof that he didn't really learn Torah properly. Amar Rav Huna, halacha kacherim. Rami Bachama, loy azman alei de Rav Nashi batachlifa. Rami Bachama did not have Rav Nashi tachlifa join in his zeman. The Tana, because he learned Sifra v'Sifri v'Hilchasa, but he didn't have Shimish Tamatim Chachamim. Kinach Nafshe Drabim Bachama, Amarov, Lainach Nafshe Drabim Bachama. The reason Rabim Bachama died young, Ella the Lai Azman Rabim Nashe Betachlifa. Because he didn't include Rabim Nashe Betachlifa in the Zeman. Ask the Mar, what did he do wrong? Vatanya, haven't we just learned? Acherim Oimram Phil Karvishan of Lashimish Tamid Chachamim, Harez Amoritz. So he did what the Alocha required. Answers the Gemara Shani Rav Nashi Batachlifa, the Mashmahu L'Rabbanan. He did serve the Tamid Chachamim, Rami Bachama, who the like Daka Basra. He didn't check out. If he would have checked, he would have seen that he did that. Lish Dachrona, a different version. The Shamash Matza, the Mepayu the Rabbanan, besides learning the Mishnayis from the Rabbanan, the Garslahu, he would try to understand it. That person who spends his time trying to learn all the time is Ketsuva Mirabbanan Dami. But the Halacha says the Mishnah Berurah, we don't follow this Bizman Hazeh, and we allow anybody to join in a Zeman. However, we learned in the Mishnah, if somebody ate Tevel or Meiser that wasn't taken away from it Truma Gedoyla, it can't join in the Zeman. Ask the Gemara, Tevel, we ate Tevel, Pshita. Answers the Gemara, Tevel, if you eat Tevel, b'mezer tzachim misim de shemayim. So it's serious aveira. Answers, well, letzrich b'tevel tovel medrabonon. It's only Tevel medrabonon. Hey, chidomi, what's the example of Tevel medrabonon? Ba'otzot shein enokif. It grew in a flower pot that doesn't have a hole on the bottom. So the chiv of meiser is only medrabonon. But the Mishnah is teaching us that even if you eat something which is osim medrabonon, you can't join in the Zeman. My Sarishan, that wasn't taken to Truma. Ask them a Pshita. If the Truma Gedola wasn't taken from the My Sarishan, you're not allowed to eat it. Answers the Gemara, Lo Tzricha, it's talking about a case, Kigoyin Shekdima Bekri, where it was already processed. And like we learned earlier in the Shir, Ma Detem Kedomale Rapopal Abaya, that maybe if it was, if the Levi took it at that point, he doesn't have to take off regular Truma Gedoyla. He only needs to take off Trumas Meiser. Kamash Milan, what we're learning in this part of the Mishnah is Kedushanilei, that if the Levi took it after it was already processed, then Trumas Meiser and Truma Gedoyla have to be removed. And if the Levi only removed Trumas Meiser, but he didn't remove Truma Gedoyla, it may not be eaten, and the person who ate that can't join in the Zimun. The next case was Meiser Sheni, that wasn't redeemed. Pshita. Of course, if it wasn't redeemed, you're not allowed to eat it outside of Yerushalayim. Lo tzricha, it's so much niftu, shlo niftu kol chasan. If they were redeemed, but they weren't redeemed properly. And the Gemara gives example. Meiser Sheni, kegoyin shepod al gabe simon. It was redeemed on a slug. Rachmana oma, but tzarta kesev b'yotcha. The Torah says that you have to use kesef sheyesh lev tzura. A minted coin is the only money that can be used for redeeming maisa. Hegdish, shehilu al gaba karakai, that you redeemed it on property, v'lebrada b'kesef, and not with money. Rachmana am, the Torah says, v'nosin ha kesef akamloi, it has to be money, not real estate. V'shamash ha'ochel pochs m'kazayis, or if the waiter ate less than a kazayis, he cannot join. Ask the Marpshita, if you ate less than a kazayis, you can't join in the Zeman. Answers the Gemara, I did the Tani Reish kazayis. Indeed, there's no chiddush here, but it's since in the Reish we learned that if the Shamus has to eat a kazayis, so in the Sefer we're learning that if he ate less than a kazayis, he doesn't join. Vanochri, an Akum, a Mezamnolov. Ask the Marpshita, he's an Akum. How do we, what's the Havamina that he could join? Answers the Gemara, Hochem Maiskinen, Shemol, he ready. Beger, we know that a ger, to be considered a ger, has to have mila v'tfila. Beger shemol, he had mila v'loy tfila. Dom Rav Zeira, Amar Rav Yochanan, la'olam en a ger, somebody's not considered a full-fledged ger, he's not considered a full-fledged Jew, at sheyima v'yitma. V'kam d'loy tavol, as long as he didn't have tfila, he's still considered nochrihu. Noshav avodim k'tanim, em ezamran leim. Amar Rav Asi, katan hamotel barisa, you have a child that's still in his crib, mezamnan alav. He could join in the Zeman. Ask the Gemara, v'atanan, didn't we learn in the Mishnah, nosh v'avadim k'tanim, ein mezamnan alayim. So how could you say that we could have such a young cotton join in the Zeman? Answers the Gemara, hug the amr k'r v'shub ben Levi. He's following the opinion of v'shub ben Levi. Dar v'shub ben Levi, apish amr k'tan amut barisa, ein mezamnan alav. You can't join him, have him join in the Zeman, but as we've discussed, when we have a minion of people benching, so the benching has a different nusach. We mention Hashem's name. And for such a situation, he could join. Because as soon as you have, the Yerushalmi wants to suggest, that as soon as you have 10 Jews, whether they're adults or not, the Shechin is there. For Zimun, you have to have 3 Gedolim. Says the Gemara, Am Yishu ben Levi, Tisha, if you have 10 adult Yisraelim, for Eved Kanani, and they have an Eved who's an Eved Kanani mitzdarfin. Meisvei, ask the Gemara, how can you say that that's the halacha? Meisvei, Rebbe Lezer, shenichnos beis haknesses. Rebbe Lezer once came into the beis haknesses, v'loi motza asara. He didn't have a minion. V'shichur avodai, so he freed his Eved, and now he had a minion. So what do we see? Only because shichurin, because he freed him. Loi shichur, but if he didn't free him, loi, he cannot join in the minyan. So why are you telling me that the 10th person could be an Eved? Answers the Gemara, the story was there with Trei Yitzchak. They only had 8 people. They needed 2 more people. So Shichrachad, so he freed one of his Avodim, and now he had 9 full-fledged Jews, because an Eved Kanani, after he's freed, is considered a full-fledged Jew. And now, for the 10th man, he could use an Eved. But ask the Gemara, how could he have done this? If somebody frees his Eved, he's over an Asay. Shenema, loylam behem tavoido. Answers the Gemara, ledvar mitzushani. It was done for the purpose of a minion, to have a minion. Ask the Gemara, but still, mitzvah baba averihu. Isn't this a situation of mitzvah baba avera? Answers the Gemara, mitzvah derabim shani. It's a mitzvah derabim. So the Ramban explains the Gemara as follows. Why is the reason that you're not allowed to free an Eved Kanani? Because it's a din in the Torah lo sechonim. You're not allowed to give an Akum a free gift. Here we're not doing it as a free gift. We're doing it for our purpose that we should be able to have a minyan. The Ramban gives another explanation. The Gemara we learned at the beginning of the Masechta on Davava Mebeis, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, B'shor Shakadosh Baruch Hu Baba Beis HaKnesses, when a Kadosh Baruch Hu comes to the shul, V'loi Motzah Ba'asara, and doesn't find a minyan, Miyaru Kais, he immediately gets upset. So here, where we're concerned about a Kadosh Baruch Hu getting upset, we're allowed to free the Eved. Another pshat that the Miri suggests, we see that the din of L'Olam Behem Tavoidu is not as significant as other mitzvahs, because there's no chiyuv for somebody to spy an Eved, not to free him. And therefore, since it's an easier mitzvah, we could be a little more lenient. Amar Yeshua ben Levi, L'Olam Yashka Adnul Beis HaKnesses, a person should be get up early to go to Beis HaKnesses, Kadesh Yiska V'yimna Masar Rishonim, that he should be able to be from the Asar Rishonim. Because then, Afil Meibam Achrov, even if 100 people come afterwards, Kibel Olav Schar Kulam, he gets the Schar of all of them. So ask the Gemara, Schar Kulam Salkadatach, does he get the Schar of all those people? He gets Schar equal to all of the rest. Why? Because once we have a minion, we have the Shechina. So this person who brought the Shechina deserves the Schar. Aravuna Tisha V'Oren. If you have a Tisha and you have an Oren Kodesh that has and a Sefer Torah, it's Darfin to be considered like a minion. Amalei Rav Nachman V'Oren Gavrahu. Is an Oren considered a person that we could use him towards a minion? Elam Rav Huna Nir Tisha Nirin Kansara. When you have 10 people that look like 10, mitzdarfin. Amalei Kimichnafi, when they gather together, they're more likely to look like a group. Vamalei Kimivdu, when they're spread out, they look like a minion. So what's pshat, the Mefarshim try to understand, what's pshat that an Oren could be part of a minion? So Mefarshim want to suggest that the Pesach Inayim says that the Rashi Tevus of the word Oren, Ve'echad Ve'oren, is Ve'echad Roya Ve'ena Nira. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is represented by the Oren, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu could be Mitztarif to the Minyan. Omer Rav Ami, Shnayim V'Shabbos Mitztarifim. If you have two people eating a meal on Shabbos together, it's considered like you have three. Omalei Rav Nachman, V'Shabbos Gavrahu, is Shabbos a person that we can include him in a minion? Ella Amar Rav Ami, Shnei Talmid Chama Mechadim Zeba Halacha. If two people are learning Halacha together, they're like three, because the Halacha becomes the third one. Machvi Rav Chizda, Kigoyin Anova Rav Sheshes. When I and Rav Sheshes are eating together and we're talking and learning, we're like three. Machvi Rav Sheshes, and Rav Sheshes used the example, Kanova Rav Chizda. But I saw that there's a pshat that we say Shachris, Shabbos by davening. V'yoyim ha'shvi'i mishabeich v'oymer. The yoyim ha'shvi'i, Shabbos has the power that it is mishabeich v'oymer, that it, so to speak, speaks. And therefore, it's speaking the shvach of Hashem, and it could be the third in the Zimun.